It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
Welcome to Wisdom on Replay, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. We're here. We've had quite a stretch with this flu that's been going around. I was not here last week. Jim took the reins and did a good job with a very special athlete from Lafayette. And so I was missed, and something happened. I couldn't get in. I don't know what happened, but it went well. But we're back here in the studio. Voice is a little rough. I know Jim's voice is a little rough.
We're a little beat up here.
A little smacked around here.
It's lovely winter flu.
And geez, we got a minus 8 degrees coming up this weekend. So the fun never ends. The hits just keep on coming. And we have a special guest on hold. Round two of Andy Milovich, the original GM of the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. I want to thank our sponsors real quick. Masters Bar and Grill, right next door here. Sherry Gordon's Boutique, Downtown Warren, TJ Perline Asphalt, and a new one, Crusader Financial Solutions, and Tim May. They do a heck of a job. Jim, let me know what's going on with you.
Oh, nothing, brother.
You know. How'd the open house go? I know we did well.
Open house, listen, we still got some remnants of it. It was, but then lo and behold, I get sick as a dog. That's why I rushed over here. Straight from Mercy Health. So, but yeah, I mean, went great. We had tremendous turnout. There's still some opportunities there if people are looking for lessons. There's some equipment, but everything outside of that was. I think the first night we had 60 kids come through, which is that not counting the parents. And then Saturday and Sunday were pretty steady, and Monday. So
yeah,
but.
Didn't look like there was a whole lot left. I mean,
No. If anybody sees that, listen, call us, because that stuff's on giveaway. Just give us a call and throw a number at us, because we just want to, we want to.
And this is also the only time of the year where development rates are this low.
Oh, yeah.
So please.
Like I said, the RBI, Reviving Baseball in the Inner City, the Jackie Robbins, a lot of the grant money, we still got some left, so. And that's going towards some of that equipment. You need bats, especially, the fast pitch bats. The girls out there, I mean, we got top of the line, and you could get it for pennies on a dollar. Same thing with the instructions. Same thing, we got some gloves.
Yeah.
We got Mike Trout's game glove up there. We'll sell you that for cheap. It was donated to us.
So. Yeah, we'll sell anything you want.
There you go,
we'll
absolutely. You can tell us trying to be enthusiastic, people. Me and Tommy are beat up. But we still love what we're doing. Carl's going to come up with a big question, and then we got some great stuff for Andy. So,
well, I wanted to say something about. Did you catch the Buffalo Bills game? Now, I'm not I'm not a big fan. Okay, but some of those calls. I mean, I don't know. I must not know all these rules. Does the ball move a little bit? I think we've gotten to a crazy point with this.
NFL. You're able to make a judgment call that switches a game.
How's come when you cross the plane of the goal line running the ball, you could go throw the ball up in the air, lose your helmet and your shoes, and it's a touchdown. But when you're catching a ball, you have to be, the ball can't move, the threads have to be exactly in your hand. I mean, I think we've gotten way past anything
normal
here.
It's called the point spread.
Oh, yeah, well, that too. But Josh Allen was crying. How about all these people that haven't played, never played tiddlywinks before, making fun of him crying? Guess what? I was 33 and popped up with the bases loaded in the NABF tournament and cried all the way home. So, there. I mean, it's an emotional game. He obviously was falling apart at the seams, but I doubt if you sit there and make fun of him.
These guys give their lives to it. People don't understand.
Jeez,
if you've never done it, you don't understand.
A bunch of these daggone analysts that never played anything. And always got something negative to say. Well, Andy, we're going to get over to you now because we have some unfinished business. From the last show, which was extremely a good show. But I wanted to ask you a few things about, the early years. some of the coaches, you know, who was easy to work with, who wasn't, you know, the changes in operation from year to year, how it evolved. Because obviously you didn't have a here's the game plan and just there it is, go ahead. I mean, that had to be a lot of work, you know, to get everything going and on a streamline it and get it going. Community involvement was huge. Also wanted to talk about, you know, the concerts posing not only the operational physicality part of it, but how it strained your interns, because obviously nobody was making a ton of money, and now you had to get them working basically 24 hours a day and staying out there through all that, already stretched during the season, and then having to do that. And then, you know, players throughout the years, some good one, bad, you know, ones you really liked, you know, some of the ones that were really ended up being, you know, good major leaguers. So kind of take it over from there, and tell me, you know, how that all transpired from year to year.
Yeah, it really is like controlled chaos where you're trying to kind of manage everything with so many moving parts at all the time, with a lot of young kids that interned, right, or were full time in their first job, kind of running the day to day of it with us. And so, you know, the goal was always as chaotic as it was behind the scenes, which obviously you were a part of seeing all that with the concerts and baseball and
right,
and everything, is you're hoping that from a fan's perspective, you just walk into the gates and everything's like working really well and it looks like a well-oiled machine, even though, you know, internally, you know, it isn't. You know, we don't have a ton to do with the players, or at least we didn't then when it was affiliated, because that was all run by the Indians. And most of the day-to-day interaction related to the team was through the manager.
Right.
So our first manager, Ted Kubiak, the ex-big leaguer that played with the A's,
yep,
maybe a couple other teams, he was a really difficult guy to work with. And
wow,
it's funny, I know a handful of people that have shared stories over the years about nearly coming to blows with Ted over one thing or another. And he made everything difficult. It didn't matter what it was. It may have just been for the sport of it. I'm not sure, but we used Jeff Crystal from Crystal's restaurant for all our post-game catering and meals, and the Indians were one of the first to really go all in on nutrition and the development side of it. And so they had very specific requirements in terms of the meal quality and the ingredients and what they wanted to feed their guys. Never mind that they were immediately going straight to B-dubs after the strikeout man struck out, drinking six beers, eating 24 wings. But Ted one day complained that nobody was eating any of these meals, and we had a different meal for every day of the week. So he got rid of five of the seven meals, and these are the only two that he thought people ate. And now we just had two meals in the rotation. And then 3 weeks later, he called me in and said, "This is ridiculous." He goes, "We eat the same every night. What do we got to do to get some variety around here?" And I'm like, it was like you'd have one conversation one day, it was a totally different person you talked to 2 days later.
And
it got so bad to the point where the morning of one of our youth camps that we did for kids, we had agreed on everything weeks in advance in terms of the players, how they would be compensated, what the expectations were, the itinerary, the agenda. And the morning of, he told me that the players weren't getting paid enough. This was a waste of their time and effort. There's too many demands expected of them. They weren't going to do it. And it got to the point where Alan Levin met with him because he was in town that week and told him that he would throw him out of the Youngstown Warren area for good if he didn't get his ass in gear and get these players on the field. It was just such a nightmare. And then you fast forward, you get a guy like Turgeon. When we had Turge as the manager, just one of the all-time great people. Anything you needed, he'd go out of his way to do. And he actually met his wife, Teresa Turgeon, she lived in Warren at the end of the season, I think in 03, And he stayed at my house, slept on a couch in a basement for 3 extra weeks after the season, just so he could spend more time and get to know her better. They wound up getting married, and he's been back in and out of the minor leagues, in and out of managing at the college level and so forth. So
Andy, he's down at IMG, isn't he?
Yeah, he's at IMG now. Great dude, great dude.
Yeah, and you would know that, I'm sure knowing him, you probably know this. There's a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Dobson that at one point was his brother-in-law.
And yeah.
Serve pro. And and that's how I met him. He used to come down to my building all the time with Jimmy, because Jimmy was a client of mine. And then I think at one time he applied for the YSU job, and then he ended up, I think, at Virginia Tech for a little bit. And good guy,
yeah,
and a good baseball
for a minute,
guy.
Too.
Yep. Yep. And it's funny you said that about Kubiak, because, you know, kind of the Forrest Gump part of this, and this is very minimal. You might not remember this, but I don't know if it was you or Dave or somebody called us in the eventuality that somebody needed to fill in to do the camp. And I remember saying, are you kidding me? And they were like, you were kind enough to Kubiak that you didn't rat him out. But I had heard later that he was just... And I'd had people that dealt with him in pro ball and different things like that just said he was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was weird. I remember he asked me one time, he kept talking about when his wife was coming to town and how it was important that we treated her well and took care of her. I'm like, Ted, we take care of everybody. Like, that's what we're in the business of doing.
Yeah.
And he just, for weeks and weeks, every day, hey, my wife's coming to town. Just to remind you, on the 23rd, my wife's going to be here. So she came in, and I kind of set her up in a conference room with a spare computer. Anything she needed, she hanged. She hung out of my office most of the 3-4 days she was in town for. And when I introduced her to somebody as Ted's wife, like the first day she was in to the rest of the staff, she quickly corrected me and said, no, we're not married. We're divorced.
Right. Well, hey, you know what? I had heard.
Are you kidding?
Now, I had heard this, and this is, I'm not rumor mongering anything like that about Kubiak.
Oh,
that after, I don't think he's still coaching or any.
He came back to the Scrappers
way
didn't
later,
he,
yeah. But I think, there was some onset of dementia. That he was a little later.
There,
down the
there
line.
May have been, because it was really weird. It was like. Two alternate universes that were running parallel to each other at all times, it seemed.
And, you know, back then, those guys, you know, the A's, who knows?
Think about all the patience you garnered through those years. Think about that. I mean, seriously, think about from every different angle, you had the...
All the
vocal
personalities,
group,
all
of
the
fame,
out,
that nightmare 4-day event thing that was...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's so weird. Like, there's just so many kind of weird, crazy things that come up over the course of any minor league baseball season in any market in the country. And there's things you think are going to be problems that aren't, and there's things that like aren't that you're expecting to be simple and easy that manifest themselves in ways you didn't expect. Like back then, the LPGA event in town, the Giant Eagle Classic, they had host families where everybody stayed on the golf course in these big, nice homes there in Warren. And so when we got to town, they said, hey, you know, we want to be host parents, and we should do that. And my immediate reaction was like, look, I'm maybe 26 years old at the time. The thought of these 21-year-old baseball players, like, staying, knowing how these guys kind of run the streets at night and, you know, like to have a good time. You know, you guys have all been there, right? Like, these guys aren't making great decisions all the time once the game ends.
Right.
Do you want to embarrass
yourself in the community with something like that?
Yeah. Like, you're coming and going. You got young kids. You got teenage daughters. Kid from Venezuela. Like, I don't
hey,
you know.
Andy,
I'm not sure this is a good idea.
Andy, do you remember... The big drama between, it was a friend of mine, he was an insurance agent. He ran an insurance agency. His wife or fiance was hooking up with the catcher from the Scrappers. And he found all these letters and stuff, and he actually wanted me to go do something. I don't know if you remember me going, I got this crazy thing going on between one of these local insurance agencies and the catcher, on the, I think it was the catcher from the Scrappers, and he starts showing me the letters, and they were so graphic that I go, dude, I'm not sure what you want me to say to this, but I'm guessing it's over.
What was, Andy, let me ask you, in your time with you running the team, what was the, like, you just shook your head, player behavior post game, you know, where you had to be like kind of like the replacements and go to the jail? You know, did you have any moments like that, or was it, what was the craziest thing that you ran into? Did you have to let somebody go because of behavior?
No, I don't think we didn't have anything like that in Mahoning Valley. I did later in Myrtle Beach. In Mahoning Valley, it was interesting. Like, Victor Martinez, who was a catcher for us and played in the big leagues, he stayed with the host family. And
with Bob and his family.
Yeah, and they, Bob, I want to say it was the night of his first big league hit. Their son was in the Cleveland Clinic and battling something significant.
Yep.
And he got his first big league hit and wound up going and spending the night in the hospital with the boy that night, instead of going out with his teammates and doing stuff. So, like,
yep.
Wow.
There was certainly a lot of chaos, but there was also some incredible stories as well that, like, you really want to publicize, and they don't really want you to do, because, you know, it's not why they're doing it. And you know, I'm sure there's a failed relationship for every Tina who was a Diamond Girl and dated and ended up marrying Ryan Church, who had a great big league career and made a lot of money. Sure there's a horror story somewhere else that I maybe didn't hear about, but.
I was really going to bring all those letters into Andy. Andy, we have a problem. I go, dude, if I'm reading these letters right, there's not much to salvage here. Right. I mean,
that Victor's family was the Bixlers, Bob Bixler and his family. And then he would come back because Bob, the first academy I was in down here, Bob was friends with the guy that I was partners with, and Victor would come every winter and come see Bob. Then he'd walk in there, like, you know, it was early, he was still, I think he was just getting to the big leagues, and like, I knew who he was and working in baseball like you would.
Yeah,
a lot of people, it took him a little while to figure out who he was.
His family ended up hosting his wedding in their backyard.
They still talk to him. I talk to Bob, they still have a relationship with him.
Yeah, I think those are the stories. Like, I was younger back then, so I didn't kind of maybe get involved in the personal relationships as much as, you know, I would have or could have or should have, because it just seemed like we were going 1,000 miles an hour at all times.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the events and stuff that we had there, like, you know, we joke about, Bob Crosby and Moonbeam and some of the challenges around some of those, but, you know, like, we hosted the Youngstown Symphony and, like,
incredible pops, events at the ballpark. Nice.
And people coming to the stadium that had never been to see a Scrappers game ever.
Right.
Are there sitting on the infield watching the Symphony play. And I think that's, like, the beauty of sports is its ability in those facilities to transcend all the socioeconomic boundaries and cultures and kind of bring people together is really what makes it special. And then throw that in with the, you know, the passion of the sports fans throughout the valley. It's what a great time.
And you know what's funny is you know, some of the shows you'd think were going to be really difficult, you don't think some of the shows are going to be, and then some of them that you don't think, some of them that you do think are going to be. Like, we had 98 degrees in that whole Nickelodeon thing. That thing was a pain in the... I mean, you had reports of, you know, girls kissing behind the stage, which really I wasn't going to get the security team all up in a roar on that. But we had all the problems with the food. If you remember, we had the catered, and it was and they had to have special food, so we had it all ready for their bus when the show was over. And Nick Lachey comes up and says, "You know what? We just want to go to Wendy's." Now, at 3 in the morning, not in a real good mood at this point, I go, "Nick, there's Wendy's right over there. You don't have to eat this chicken filet and all this great stuff." He goes, "Well, you have a couple hundred bucks." I go, "What are you going to do? Sit down, strike? The show is over. Now I'm done." And he gets on. Dominic got all upset, like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you talked to him like that." But it's just like Ja Rule,
when is
who
enough
thought
enough?
It was too hot. And he didn't like the girl that was driving him around. And finally, I just got tired of trying to figure out what he was saying. He kept calling me fam this, fam. Finally, I go, "I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you do your greatest hits? You'll be out in 10 minutes. And then, oh my God, they weren't going to play. And I thought, I'm going to blow the whole show because we already paid the guy. And then you'd think David Lee Roth would be a problem. He never asked me for anything. He came out, did some kicks, went back in, and I thought he would be a real prima donna. But it's just weird how that works. But all of those, how you put up with all of those vocal group Hall of Fame older people, pain in the neck.
I was talking with one of our guys on my team at Revelocity Sports this morning, and the subject of little people came up, and you mentioned it, Dominic. I really, this isn't a politically correct thing to say, probably ever, but back in,
that's usually not a problem on this show.
I said to Jim Riley, who ran our marketing, like, "We need to find a little person." Although I used a different term back then, and he goes, "Well, where am I going to find a little person? And why do we need to find one?" I said, "Because it'd be a great addition to our promotional team." And so 3 days later, it's St. Patrick's Day, and big celebration. We're out hanging out, and I'm listening to TD93, and they've got one of their promotional goons pushing a little person painted green in a grocery cart down 422 from downtown Warren to Boardman. And I called Jim Riley, and I said, "Hey, get your butt down to Girard. They're down there by the Jib Jab hot dog shop right now. We need to hire this guy." And we ended up hiring him, and it was fantastic. Like, he was such an entertainer, and the fans loved him. And
I remember that like it was yesterday, that promotion. Dominic would have the crazy.
He dressed up as our gym trafficant night as Mini Jim. And
that's worth itself
that
right there.
He race from second around to home, and an adult would always catch him, and he lost every race by about a step and a half. And that night we had somebody in an FBI shirt and hat catch him, and he turned around and punched him below the belt. FBI guy dropped, and he ran home with the peace signs across home plate and 6,000 people roaring and cheering for him. It was on the front page of the Detroit Free Press and CNN the next day.
Hey, here's a good one for you. I know Tommy wanted to get on about some of the baseball stuff. Name the guy you knew when you saw him that he was going to be a star, and then name the guy that you were surprised that he had the career that he had at the stage when they were with you, and then he just blew up from there.
Oh, the one you knew was CC Sabathia. That dude was just a freak physically. He was so big. We had the special order of pants for
him. I remember that.
I think everybody through his career had to do that.
Yeah, when he left, they brought the pants in and said, "What are we supposed to do with these now?" And I held them up, and they were touching the ground. I'm 5'11", so I'm not crazy tall. But they touched the ground and went past my shoulders, both above them and wider than them. They were so big and baggy. So he's probably the one that
Who would be the position guy? Lindor.
I knew Ryan Church was going to be good when I.
I think Church was one of those guys I'd probably like. He was really good at that level, but you thought would kind of max out double A and not make it. But man, he had a great career. Michael Brantley had an unbelievable career.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
You know, he's the one everybody forgets came through there.
I forgot about that.
I'll go. Okay, I'll go with you on that one. No doubt. Now, who was the guy you thought was a shoo-in and it kind of maybe fell by the wayside, injuries or whatever?
I don't know if I thought he was a shoo-in, but the guy they were crazy high on after they drafted him was that high school first baseman out of Oklahoma, Curtis Gay.
Yeah.
And he never hit in a valley. I don't know if he even got above low A. He may have played 2 years after the valley, and that was it.
Wow.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see that, guys that are big shots and...
Everything. You know, the struggle now with the team, Andy, as you know, is it's a development league. So, you know, the fans come and, oh, we got a pretty good team in the beginning. And then the struggle is if they're any good at all, they're going to be gone. So now by mid-season, they look terrible. I mean, that's how it is now. It's totally different.
Yeah, the league is weird. So it's like a prospect league and a draft league until the draft. And then it kind of transitions into more of a traditional independent league afterwards.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, those better prospects are there the first half of the season. Then you lose them all.
Yeah.
And you get a bunch of guys that aren't as well known and probably don't have nearly the same opportunity to play at the big league level.
And we were laughing, me and Jordan, because it was early August, and there's some guys out there that can't even get the ball over the plate, and I'm joking. I brought my dad. We're sitting down. I go, I don't know, man. I think I could grab a bat and hit that guy. And we were like laughing, like, this is what happens when you get down to the end of the season. You're down to like trying to put a team out there. So it's totally different from, you know, a month earlier. It looked like, wow, look at what happened to all those guys. You know, and the fans don't know anything about how that works. They're just going, wow, what happened? They're scoring like 7 runs in the first inning, walked like 10 guys, and that's it. That's the product that you have to, you know, work with towards the end of the season. It's got to be difficult.
And people still think it's still amazing to me that people still think it's an Indians affiliate.
People don't pay attention.
They don't know that. Then they discover and they start asking questions.
Yeah, there's so much talent that came through there in those early years. It's kind of crazy how good it was.
Yeah.
And the problem is you just don't, like, you don't know who's going to make it or who isn't at the time.
Right.
And then you look back and you're like, wait a minute, did he? Yeah, he played with us. Okay. You know, it's guys like, you know, Kevin Kuzminoff and I want to say that 99 team had like 8 or 9 guys that played in the big leagues on it.
Yeah, easy. Well,
and you and I both know they pick and choose in a given year developmentally what they're going to do. You know, are they going to make
it? Didn't that Chisenhall play with the Scrappers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did too.
Yes, he did.
Chisenhall.
I know. I remember watching him and Travis Fryman trying to teach him something. And I can tell you right now, Travis isn't sending him any Christmas cards anytime soon. That was brutal. Brutal. Kid wouldn't listen for anything. But that's the way his career panned out too. So,
the names and some of the stupid things that like stick out at you. Like I remember Ben Francisco. And every time he walked to the plate, we played Cisco's The Thong Song. and like if I ran into him on the street today, that would be the first thing that would pop into my head. So absurd.
Yep.
That's what you kind of recall somebody for. But guys like Jonathan Van Every, you know, made it. It's like I don't think anybody really had him getting to the big leagues, and
right.
You know, he didn't have a huge long career, but that was a guy. When he was there, I remember talking with Tom St. George, Darlene St. George, the township administrator in Howland.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loved that kid. He talked about him every day. He's my pick to go to the big leagues. And literally nobody else in the world had him going to the big leagues.
Worked out that way, though.
Yeah.
It's funny how things end up happening that you're like, you got to be kidding me. Well, Andy, we so appreciate you coming back on.
Time with you flies.
It really was. I really appreciate it because we got through a lot of the stuff that I wanted to talk about and those crazy days. And if you just sit back and think about it, you'll shake your head and laugh. Anytime you're feeling down or blue or it's rain, just think about some of those days. That'll snap you right out of it.
No doubt. You want to know what's crazy, and this might make you feel old. I don't know if you'll know him. John Brown, who was like head of the Booster Club back in the day, or one of the guys that organized the Booster Club. I can't remember who was in charge.
Yep.
Huge Indians fan back in the day. I was talking with a couple of buddies of mine that run the spring training complex in Goodyear last year.
And he's down there.
Last month. And they said, hey, we got a guy on our staff that you know. And they go, Johnny Brown, you know his dad from the Booster Club back in the Scrappers days. And I was like, damn. He was like a six-year-old kid
running around the
stadium back in the day.
Yeah, and the last point, Justin Brown, his nephew, worked for us for like 15 years.
6 years old. Oh, my God. Well, your first bat boy, Freddie Battisti's like 45 now. Yeah. Yep. I remember him coming to work saying, CeCe Sabathia's butt is so big. That was the first thing he remembered from when he was the bat boy.
What's he doing now? Striping parking lots for the Caparo company?
Yeah. He's a big shot. Now, he's been a big shot since he was able to speak in his own mind.
Well, Andy, thank you for all the time.
Yeah, thanks, man.
We'll schedule some more down the line. We gotta greet the people that pay the bills. Otherwise, we'd probably stay on here another hour.
Thanks, Andy. I really appreciate it. Excellent.
Thank you.
Tommy, we got anybody we gotta run through on your side of the table?
No, I'm good. I did mine.
Mine are simple. Cafe 422, DNR Audio, my friend Damon LaRiviere, Gatta Trucking, Levy Steel, good The man. Den. You know, we talked about our open house. Please let us know if anybody needs any equipment, anything like that. Anything that we can do. George Sudis and his family. Let me think. Oh, last one. Can't do without Lee Manios, Franklin Pharmacy and Franklin Healthcare, longtime partners and longtime supporters. Hey, we'll talk. Sorry we were a little beat up on the voice end, but you guys were great out there listening. It was a great show.
We'll keep coming at you.
And Carl, you get to double me up on the question next week since we didn't get it to do it today.
Oh, we didn't get to it, huh?
So, all right, everybody. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.